The sign that this state of true happiness has been achieved is that the I seek nothing else. Once the I am adept, the means of happiness, the way to good, are within, for nothing is good that lies outside of me. Anything I desire further than this, I seek as a necessity, and not for myself, but for a subordinate, for the body bound to me, to which, since it has life, I must minister the needs of life, which are not needs, however, to the true self. That's a complex series of concepts, isn't it? This is the Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campbell, California. What this is saying, rather than reading it twice again here, what this is saying is that the means of true happiness are found within ourself, which is our true self. And anything that we find in the outer is going to direct us away from our true happiness. Now, you can do lovely things for a child. You can give him lovely gifts. You can give him attention. You can give him all sorts of things. But when he senses that you love him without measure, when he senses that you love him without cause, and you will always love him, that your love is not something that will come and go, he is in true happiness. Now, needless to say, most children are in true happiness all the time because they don't realize that an adult's love can be given and taken away. We look at the symbol of Solomon and the two women who were arguing over whose child it was, and Solomon said, let's cut them in half, you can each have half. And the real mother says, no, give it to her. Now, that's real love. That's real love. And do you think that that child who was argued over by these mothers did not sense that real love of the real mother? I mean, such a dedication, such a integrity, such a undoubtable activity is amazing. We look at a lot of things, and now, for instance, if that child were the heir of a great deal of money, and the two mothers were arguing over the child, and if they split the child in half and they each got half of his inheritance, do you think the real mother would like to split the child? Or, no, don't be so jumpy about shaking your head yes there. Do you think, no, no. Do you think the real mother could be talked into letting the child be split in half and dead, and then each one of them receive half of the estate of the child? Do you think that could be? Well, unfortunately, yes, it could. I was in Delaware yesterday, and in Delaware, there was a notice in the newspaper that a baby was found in a trash bag next to the garbage can. And they picked the baby out of the trash bag. The umbilical cord was still there, untied, and the baby was like maybe 2 or 3 hours old. It was a little girl. And what's going to happen to that little girl? I mean, that little girl is a tiger. She wants to live. She's going to make it. Now, do you think that mother cared about the child? No. You see, we are so confused that we think that every mother who has a child loves that child as a compassionate mother would. But they don't. That's not true. A mother loves a child only insofar as a mother feels a goodness within her. Now, there's a lot of mothers who dump their babies. There's a lot of mothers who flush their babies away. There's a lot of mothers who have no interest in their babies. You know, once the baby is born, I had a secretary who told me that at one time in her life, she had two lovely girls, but her life was as a concert pianist. She played in Vienna, and she played all over the world and was quite famous. And she and her husband had two daughters, but the two daughters were a bother. And so she said to her housekeeper one time, or to the lady who was taking care of the girls, she said, you love these children, don't you? And the lady says, "Oh my, yes, they are just my delight. I would work for nothing to take care of them." And so my secretary said, "They're yours. Go sign the papers if you'd like them." "Oh, yes." Now, how do you think those kids were raised? They were raised with love. They were raised with caring. Their own mother had too many things to do. There was too much busyness. There was too much social life. There was too much concert life and demands upon her. Why did she have a baby? Why did she and her husband have a relationship that ended up in a baby twice, you know, or maybe even more, who knows? Why did she do that? Well, sex is not love. Sex is not marriage. Sex is just something that comes along for procreation. Now, people have that, and they don't all want to be mothers and fathers. They don't all want to be parents. In fact, that's what's wrong with a lot of families in our world today. Many parents don't want to be parents. And many parents who do want to be parents and don't have children, they do their very best to adopt them. And you can be sure that these adopted children are very much loved. Very much loved. I have a friend of mine that I have known for many, many years. He's in prison, and he was not able to keep his family together. And his wife went off having her interesting life, and she abandoned the children. So his children were adopted by someone through the court, and they lived happily for a while. But then the husband and wife didn't like each other for some reason, and they divorced. And now the daughter is, you know, without a mother and father a second time. You look at Wendy's, as I told you the other day about that. That man was born into a family. The mother died, and then the father remarried, and then the other wife died, and then the father died, and then he was turned over to the grandparents, and then the grandparents died, and he was turned over to somebody else, and they died. I mean, that's all he knew. But by the time he was 12, he had gone through some pretty terrific things. But by the time he was 12, he had made himself into a little master for himself. And he associated himself with Colonel Sanders of Colonel Sanders Kentucky Fried Chicken, and he learned how to work in his store as a dedicated worker, and Colonel Sanders helped him to get his own franchise. He got his own franchise. He made a mint off of it. He sold the franchise and started up his own store, Wendy's. He named after his daughter. Now, here this man had these tremendous problems in his life, and his true self was a very loving person. His true self was a very sincere person, a very dedicated person. Or was it? You know? Or was it? Was he just a tiger who fought his way through life and accomplished what he wanted to accomplish? I understand he had difficulties later on because he had also been a boxer. He'd also been a man who liked to fight his way through everything, and he lost a lot of things. Now, where is our true self? Where is our true self? How do we ever tune in to our true self? We all look for the true self. We all say, "I want to be my true self. I want to be my divine self." Well, let's just face the fact we already are our divine self. Now, what sort of my sister told me about a tower in Delaware. It's a water tower. And the water tower is up on the hill which served the city for many, many years. And the water tower had slots in it. They were 16 inches wide, 17 inches wide, and about 8 feet tall. They let light inside of the water tower area. And there's no way to get in that water tower except through the door down below. No way to get out of it. Well, Bill had to remodel the tank that was in there and had to slide it through those 17-inch holes and put them back and weld them in there and do all sorts of good things. You see, that's much like our life, our body. Our body is very, very strong, very durable, very wonderful, But the openings in our body to receive and give are very small. They're very small. Very small opening, like the window in those places. And we sometimes don't realize how to get out or how to get in. Because we're moving around inside of this body, having such a busy time, we don't slow down enough to see where the openings are and to see how we can go out of the openings and come in the openings and enjoy our life. How do you love from the inside? How do you share who you are from the inside? You don't really know. And the reason you don't know is you haven't slowed down long enough to pay attention to how to share. Now, little kids sometimes share very violently, and they'll hit each other, and they'll trip each other, and they'll try to do things to get each other's attention. What are they doing? They're doing just like they've been trained to do things a violent moment. Like little children, they love to be spanked by their parents because that's the only attention they get. Now that's sick, that's unfortunate, but they want to be spanked because that's the only attention they get. Well, you and I have not learned to get in and out of our inner self except to reach out and then be slapped by the world and then pull it in again, you know, because it is an unkind thing. It's like a child being born, coming out of the womb. Nice, warm, cozy place where everything was in perfect homeostasis and beautiful. And then he gets out in that cold world. And then these cold hands of the doctor handled him, you know. And then he usually gets patted on the back or something like that to clear his lungs and make sure everything's going right. And then they want to cut his penis off right away, that is the foreskin. And they want to do all sorts of things, and they want to give them shots, and they want to give them the things that are necessary to protect them from this hostile environment that they're moving into, you know. Stay inside. It's much nicer, you know. There's less violence. But all of this violence, all of this violence. And then they take the child away from the mother, not allowing the child to feel the close bond with the mother. He goes off to his own little nest, you know, and he feels, well, I guess I got to do it myself. I got to take care of myself. I'm number one. I'm alone. When he's put with his mother later on, he says, who are you? You know, nice to be with you, but, you know, I was doing just fine by myself, you know. what are you butting in my world for? This is true. This is true. A lot of children have that attitude. Children who are with their mother from the time they're born, you know, they just take them away and change your diaper and put them back right away, you know, something like that, are the most harmonious, loving, fulfilled children on the face of the earth. Children who spend the early hours, the early days, if you will, away from the mother are not happy children. They are children who are always looking for love. They're looking for attention. They're looking for someone to say, I love you. They don't know that, but that's what they are. And so if we can realize that all that we are, our true self, is within, and anything that we get from without is something that is not natural to us. You say, well, what about the child getting loved by his mother? Well, that's the within continuing. When he is separated from his mother and then brought back, then it's the without. Then it's something he cries for and unhappily tries to get to make happen for him. Now, where do you stand as a human being and as an adult on this stature here for the true state of happiness? What is the true state of happiness for you? Well, the true state of happiness for you is when you love yourself, when you enjoy your own company, and when you like who you are. But none of you have the capacity for the true state of happiness, because you always judge the true state of happiness based upon how others respond to you. And when you can let that alone and judge only based upon how you respond to you, then you got it. There's always this thing, I got more than you have, and I get more than you have, and I'm better than you are, and You see, and as long as you play that game, as long as you keep playing in that ballpark, you chase away your inner self. Because your outer self says, I've got the edge on this now. And your inner self says, I'll just sit back in smiling repose and wait until, if ever, you choose to come home. You see, a person, this may sound strange, but a person who is unconscious is in total peace and bliss because he's not competing with the outside world. A person who is conscious is always competing with the outside world. Now you say, well, I guess we should be unconscious all the time. No, we should be knowing who we are and not compete with the outside world. Bring to the outside world who we are. How many times have you heard a beautiful piece of music or a pianist or like that young boy who came in and at the Linwood Park and played? And you heard him play. Oh, is he 12 years old? 11, 12 years old? You heard him play, and what did you think of it? You thought, he is glorious. He is wonderful. He is letting that inside person that he is, that beautiful being that he is, that pure happiness that he is, come right out. Oh, yes, his mom and dad were there. They were playing on their instruments, and he was playing on his violin. Oh, yes, they probably encouraged him to do these things. But they couldn't make him play like he played. They couldn't make him play with the heart that he put into it, the joy and the enthusiasm and the love that he put into it. Like the old leading the horse to water, you can't make him drink. They gave him the gift through the violin, through music training and all these things, but he had the love. He had the joy, and he played. Now, that boy, all of his life, will be happy when he listens within. Whenever he listens without, when he's performing for people, he's in trouble. When he performs for himself, he's a master. Who is there who's going to teach him to perform only for himself? Maybe his divine inner self. Let's know that that's the case. Who's going to teach you how to perform for your inner self? Who's going to teach you to get off the back of your creation and stop judging your creation and telling them how to do things? Even your children, even your husband or wife. When are you going to get off their back and stop telling them what kind of person they're supposed to be and start looking at them through your eyes, your inner eyes, and see how wonderful they are? You'd be amazed at what beautiful people you create in your world when you stop judging them. Because you're judging them always to have them be more like you. And that shouldn't be bad. That should be good. But unfortunately, you limit yourself. Because if you stop judging them, you know what would happen? Whatever greatness, whatever talent they have, you would be expressing right now, no matter what it is. No matter whether it's being a great musician, a great singer, a great writer, a great builder, a great programmer, planning programmer, family person, it doesn't matter. Once you like yourself, which is what we teach again and again and again, once you like yourself and you have fun in living how you like yourself, your world is yours forever and ever and ever, and you never feel like anybody is out to hurt you or to take from you. Because everybody, if you like yourself, everybody is adding to the lumber of your life, building even a more magnificent edifice for you forever and ever. Think on these things and have fun with them. And I love you, I love you, I love you.